Tonight, I wanted us to look at the fruit of the Spirit. Now, and we will talk about it possibly in a different way than you may have talked about it in the past. Let's look at Galatians 5, 22, 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, again, we're focusing on the Spirit of who Christ is. We got it? And when we bring forth that Spirit of Christ, that's the total. And when we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit here, you'll see that each one represents love. So, again, what Christ command to us to love, that love supersedes any law. The love supersedes the Ten Commandments. The love supersedes any law, because the laws were finalized through the love of who Christ is. Now, let's look at how we deal with the fruit. Many people get in an argument about the fruit of the Spirit. We're not going to do that. We're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit and say, well, you know, and I heard one gentleman explain it one time. He said that when you're expecting fruit, he's talking about doing that of the lost people. Well, let's look at it here. Followers of Christ are to produce, and here's your answer, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the Christian. Okay, there's where the problem lies. Christians think bad of themselves because they say, well, you know, gosh, I can't do this. I'm wanting, and I know I love the Lord, and I'm wanting to show the world the Lord through my walk and what I am doing, but I cannot do this. Okay, here's an answer for you. You're right, you can't. You cannot do this. That's why it is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the Christian. Again, so many want to say, well, you know, look at me and what I've done, I'm so good. And we still have Christians. And I do not question whether or not they are saved. When a person says, I've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, I back off. I mean, that's if they say they're a Christian, then that's not for me to challenge. Now, you and I, though, must challenge what comes out. Your outward conduct is a result of your inward condition. Your outward conduct is a result of your inward condition. If you are mean-spirited, or your meanness comes out of you, then that is a product of who you really are. Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. Gosh. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Okay, as we go through life, every one of us understand what it's like to walk in darkness. What it's like to watch others who are in darkness. You and I say, well, I want to help. I want to do what I can. So I realize that as a Christian, I need to go up and I need to present, as we would say, myself to them. No, I don't. I need to go up as a Christian and present who Christ is to them. you and I need to get honest about our life. We need to be honest with the people who are watching us. And that honesty focuses on have enough love, not only for Christ, but for the individual that we're wanting to share Christ with. Have enough love to be truthful. Then the truth is, look, I'm a mess, but I want to introduce you to one who is not a mess. I want to introduce you to the perfect Christian. I want to introduce you to Christ. You cannot do that when you or us as Christians, when we present ourselves as being, look at me. Now, many will say, well, wait a minute now. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Look at me. Well, you get back with Apostle Paul and you remember what he was saying. He was talking about, look at me from the standpoint of where I was, what I've done, and what Christ has done to change it. And I am presenting to you the word of the Christ who cleaned me up. But anytime as a Christian, folks, that you and I start backing off and you and I start presenting self above the Spirit, we're not walking in the Spirit. We're more focused on, and don't take this wrong, I want us to understand it though. We're more focused on, wait a minute, I'm going to read the Bible through this year. That's great. But when you get more so focused on, I'm dedicated to read the Bible through, rather than focused on, I'm ready and willing to listen to Christ speak to me about what I'm reading. Sometimes people get so caught up in reading the Scripture, they're not listening to Christ. Did you notice that? It'd be just like me getting in prayer with the Lord. You know, at night I'm gonna talk to the Lord, and I wake up the next morning because I talk myself to sleep, I guess. I don't know. Do you ever start reading the Bible and just go to sleep or anything? You know, you're just out of it.
As long as you say amen when you wake up.
Oh, absolutely. You can close it out properly when you wake up again. Now, the intentions are fine, but again, I don't want to get caught up in I have to do this, I have to do it, because I don't. I want to get caught up in the reading of the Scripture from the standpoint of prayer, asking God to reveal to me what He wants me to have from the Scripture that I'm reading. And folks, sometimes I will not get off of two verses. Sometimes I realize that, you know, okay, Vance, read a bunch of chapters and all of this. I can't, because I'm dealing with two verses maybe that I know that God's talking with me about. And do you ever look at it sometimes and you have no idea? You've read it. You know it's right. But you don't even know what's right about it. You know it's right because it's the Bible. And you've read the Scripture. And you're still staring at it, and someone was said, did you read that descriptive verse? Yeah, I read it. What do you think? I don't know. Frankly, my brain just shut down. Did you ever have that one happen? You just lock up, and you're saying, Lord, please give me, you know, what I need to know in this. Okay, that's what we need to understand about being followers of Christ. For me to be a follower of Christ, I must understand that it is always His Spirit, not my spirit as a Christian, but Christ's Spirit as the Savior, as the Son of God. So therefore, I must present Him and not me. No, but Brother Larry, we want to invite him to come to church. And we want to, now, think of this and watch out for it. When an individual sees themselves, their self, whichever one it is, when an individual looks at their life and says, they're coming because of me, you got a problem. Now, Many of people who get saved come because of you, and you ask them. Are you catching me? But when you start building your whole relationship with Christ based on how good you are at talking to people to get them to come, they're coming for the wrong reason, and you're going out for the wrong reason. It is a focus of look. When I preach a message, and over the years, I've always said in the revivals and all, folks, I have absolutely no control over who walks that aisle. I have nothing to say about who gets saved. But then I would say, neither am I responsible for who refuses to accept Christ. I am not the responsible one. We talk about, well, we've led people to Christ. That you were there. I got to be a part of seeing a lot of people come to Jesus over the years. But it was always the Holy Spirit who did the touching. And it's always the Word. People come when you preach the Word. People say, well, I want to hear the truth. And you preach the Word, and they will say, I don't think I wanted that much truthfulness in it. You know, you need to shine it up just a tad and tell me. You can't. When you present the gospel, you present the truth of God and how God sees us. Now, knowing, you and I, all of us knowing that God is looking at us, He's looking to see what spirit is within us, what spirit you and I are projecting from this body, this vehicle. Is it our own spirit, or is it Christ? See, there's the fruit. The fruit is in Christ. Let me get to that the next page here. No one can bear God's fruit from their own production. No one can bear God's fruit from their own production. God's fruit is produced by God. What does that mean? Okay, I'm talking about you're going to go out and you're going to plant a crop. And you'll say, look what a good job I've done with the crop. No, you didn't. God did a great job letting it grow. Are you going to look at it later if He stops the rain from coming and causes the sun to beat down on it and it dries up? What are you going to say then? God messed up, I guess. Think of it. No one can bear God's fruit from their own production. I cannot tell you, okay, here's what we're going to do. Let's do a program in the church. That's the trouble with our churches today. We programmed them to death. The programming needs to be who Christ is, not how witty we are in setting up a program or to trick people into coming to church. Again, there you go. What are you going to do? You're going to use a hot dog to invite them to church, and then next week the devil's going to give them a hamburger to stay away? Or a pizza. Yeah, White Castle's for good. Can't believe I'm saying this, and now I'm going to tell everybody I'm going to have White Castles here and feed them. That'll bring them in, or it'll run them out, one or the other. Listen to John 15:4-5. Abide in me. Now, the word abide, if you want to look at that abide and you want to make a little note out from it, that abide means to take up dwelling. To take up dwelling. The abide with me is, and I'm living there. I'm living where Christ is. Abide with me and I in you. You abide with Christ, take up residence with Christ. You and I may very well see, and I never thought that we would see the day. I figured I'd be long gone. But it's possible that we can see the day now to where we will actually be confronted in threat of our liberty to either accept Christ or promote Christ or reject Him. And that breaks my heart. I got a grandson. We've got all these kids growing up. Abide in me and I in you. Standing for Christ is who we are as Christians. I remember telling the story of Polycarp here one time, and somebody went back to their church and said, I've never heard of that man. They don't know what they're talking about. Anyway, Polycarp was born about 69 A.D. So he is right in the period of where the Lord is. Many say that Polycarp was blessed by being led to Christ, or being there with John the Beloved had done that, had led him. Polycarp stood strong for the Lord. He would preach the gospel. He's one of the fathers. You hear the church fathers. Polycarp was one of the church fathers. And they were ready to burn him at the stake for standing up for Christ. His life is a great story, and here's the greatness of it. He was in prayer with God, and those closest to him knew that he said after he came out of prayer with God that God had revealed to him that he would be burned at the stake for God's glory. Now, unlike a lot of Christians or followers of Christ, instead of running, trying to hide and do all of this, he continued to preach the gospel, and he stood up, realizing that they were going to arrest him. They did arrest Polycarp, but now he's a real old man by this time, really presenting the word, and God, I guess, was letting him know he's going out in a blaze of glory. Catching that? Okay. And if you're not familiar with the story, I want to finish it for you because it's important. When they decided to go ahead and burn him at the stake for his crime of preaching Christ. Well, normally they would nail them to the stake so that they wouldn't get around. And he said, you need not nail me. Just go ahead and tie me. They had enough respect for him, the ones who do that. This is always a hierarchy that has him killed. So they tied him. He said, God will grant me the strength to stay in the fire. Well, God did. They lit the fire, but there was a problem. When they lit the fire went roaring all around him. But it was like a whirlwind between him and the fire. The fire wasn't touching him. So they get worried about it, and they order once again to take a spear and kill him with the spear. As they stab him, blood gushes out, and as the blood comes out, the fire went out. Polycarp died from the wound. He died at the stake. But the vision of that and what he taught by standing there, the power of Christ. You know, when they're burning you at the stake and he's hanging on to the stake and the fire is burning all around and it's not touching him, that'll say something to people that are watching, won't it? And then his blood actually put out the fire and he went on to be with the Lord. You see, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Polycarp, from the human standpoint, he didn't know. He knew that God had told him he's going to be burned at the stake. He accepted that he's going to be burned at the stake. He had no idea all this other was going to take place. And God protected him. And what not, all of us need to think about, when we're dealing with the Word of God and we stand strong in our relationship to Jesus Christ, the message, maybe I have preached all these 30-some years, and nobody's paid any attention in all those 30-some years. Well, it's like the focus of Moses or any of the other heroes of Scripture. It's the idea of the Word going out, but a lot of times we may never see in our lifetime any effect of it. That doesn't mean there won't be an effect later on. And just remember, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not who the preacher is or anybody else. John 15, 4 through 5. Abide in me, I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Again, take up residence. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. A lot of programs in churches, a lot of ministries going on without Jesus Christ, folks. It happens. That's the world in which we live, and it's always been. From different generations, God will bless one generation for what reason? For using his name, standing up for what he's called us to do. Then that generation would be blessed. And then just as soon as that generation dies out or goes on and be with the Lord, the next generation sins against God. If you'll read the Old Testament especially, you will see that going on time and time again. Here's another one for you to remember. The heart is the root. The language is the fruit. The heart is the root. That's spiritual who we are. That's the root. All the way down to the Word of God. The language is the fruit. The fruit is the word that Christ gives you to pronounce or to get across. Luke 6, 44 through 46. For every tree is known by its own fruit, right? We sit here and we say, okay, no, we're Christian. We lift Christ above all else. We are saved by the blood of the Lamb. And then we walk out of church and say something different. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. You know what a bramble bush is? I'm going to have to bring a tobacco stick so I can make sure that Alice and Ed see what they asked me the other day. What's a tobacco stick? And then I realized not everybody knows what a tobacco stick is. I wished I'd never seen a tobacco stick when it came to housing. And a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bring forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Again, what one word, one term, one action encapsulates all the words that Jesus gave us? Love. Love. Because if you love someone, all the other things come natural to you. If it's true to love, they don't have to worry about something bad going on with them because of you. True love doesn't do that. So Jesus says, when you got love like I've loved you, well, it's about time to come on home.